Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there!
All right.
Today, I wanted to take control of the podcast. This is different from any other week, how, you ask?
Yeah. Well, see, now I'm singing Janet Jackson in my head. That's how it's different from every other week.
Yeah, we were going through some other songs before we started the podcast. It was kind of a loopy morning. But today, we wanted to talk about something that's not loopy. Although you can have a loop in the programming for it.
That's true.
It is a microcontroller.
We've actually touched on these in the past, well, a segment of these, because we talked about the Arduino, which is a kind of microcontroller, but Jonathan said, why don't we take a step back and look at them as a whole?
Yeah, we actually had some people ask us about microcontrollers. We even had one person say, could you explain the difference between a microcontroller and a microprocessor? And really, the distinction is not black and white. There are...
sort of black and silver... I'm just kidding. It's also green in some places.
Yeah, no, there's certain characteristics that a microcontroller has, and if it has enough of them, that's when we tend to call it a microcontroller versus a microprocessor. Now, in general, a microprocessor tends to be a general purpose component.
Yeah. Basically, when most people talk about a microprocessor, they're speaking primarily of the chip that does a lot of the computing.
Yeah, central processing unit is a very... That's a type of microprocessor.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think microprocessor.
Yes, that's what I think of too.
And there is a processor as part of a microcontroller. But a microcontroller is a very, very tiny computer. Well, it doesn't have to be very, very tiny, but it is basically a computer on a board.
Yeah.
So it would have the board, which is the green I was referring to before, the circuit board, and it would have a processor soldered into it, but it also might have other inputs and outputs on it. Maybe a USB output that's wired in, and a couple LEDs, for example. It could be a lot of different things, but usually it's a general purpose, a specific purpose that the microcontroller is designed to do.
Right.
And so you find them in all kinds of things: ovens, toasters,
yeah,
cars, microwaves. It is a computer, but it's not like the kind of computer that sits on your desktop.
Right. It's a very specific use. So, we've talked about these and things like we had our podcast about microwaves. Mm-hmm. We talked about a little bit on that. But, these are computers that have very specific uses, and because they have these narrow parameters, they don't need to be general purpose. So, they tend to have a fairly limited number of uses that they can actually be employed for. Otherwise, it's outside the realm of their scope. So here are some general guidelines as to what makes a microcontroller. And I'm pulling these from our article on how microcontrollers work, which is an extensive article. It is one of our, and it goes into detail. If you want technical details about microcontrollers, it's an excellent resource, and it was written by Marshall Brain, who was the founder of HowStuffWorks.com.
Mm-hmm. In fact, he took a specific kind of microcontroller and talks about programming and how you would get into that. And, it depends on the microcontroller how you would program one.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get into that much detail. We're really going to touch on the uses of microcontrollers in general and what goes into, the makeup of them.
Yeah, we might talk a little bit
excellent.
About... Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about programming, but we're going to take a very general approach because otherwise, you have to do a specific podcast over each one, and that would just be ridiculous.
Yeah, but Marshall went into detail on that specific kind of microcontroller, which is programmed in BASIC.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool because I don't usually typically think of that as a microcontroller language.
Right. So let's get down to the basic features of what a microcontroller is. So as Marshall pointed out, they are typically embedded in something else. So a microcontroller is not its own thing. It is part of something else. So for example, the microwave. The microcontroller is what allows the commands you put into the microwave to be transferred into action within the microwave itself. Then they are dedicated to a specific task or specific program. And that program tends to be stored in read-only memory and does not change. So in other words, it's something that you're going to do over and over again. It's dedicated to a task that is repeatable and is not changing after you've done it once.
Right.
So like a calculator, and you use a calculator to add 5 to 5, that's never going to change. Unless
really?
The laws of the universe change, in which case, some sort of crazy, wacky, parallel universe thing happens.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
Remind me to get a new calculator.
Right. So then you have, they also tend to be very efficient. They tend to not require a lot of power to operate. So, for example, you might have a full computer that has its own onboard battery, but you tend to keep it plugged in because it drains a lot of power, right?
Right.
Well, microcontrollers do not require so much power, so they can be battery operated and last for a long time, and they're only pulling power whenever they're in use.
Right.
So that's why you could have a calculator that's battery operated and you don't have to change the batteries out that frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you have one that has also the little solar panels on it, you may not ever have to change the batteries depending on, the environment you are in when you are using it.
Right.
It has a dedicated input device and usually, but not always, has some sort of display to show the output for the device. And, normally you have this display there when you are first building or programming your microcontroller. And it's in order for you to make sure that the program you have built is operating properly before you start to go into like a manufacturing phase and you start implementing it into a product. So you would want to be able to test this extensively before you went into full production. Otherwise, you could end up producing a line of things that are flawed because there was some line of code that you left out or there was an extra character or something. And now when you add 5 to 5, you get cake.
Like I said, I need a new calculator.
Or less cake.
No, the use of microwave in this case is a good example because, you know, in the chips baked into the, not baked into, soldered into, I'm just tripping all over stuff today, soldered into the board inside the microcontroller in the microwave. It's got instructions on, you know, what each of those digits does on the keypad. It's got, instructions on what to do when you press the coffee button versus the popcorn button. So many of these microwaves have these dedicated buttons now. Pizza.
Yeah.
But it basically, the instructions are, hey, if he presses the pizza button, that means put the microwave on high for 75 seconds.
Right.
And that's it. You know, start. So, it has those instructions in there, and it also has a display, instructions. So it shows what is going on to the user so that he or she has an idea of how long it's going to be cooked for and at what power. But, you know, it doesn't have to do things like tune a radio or try to find Facebook or something like that, or
right.
or do Wi-Fi, because it's not programmed to do that. So yeah. they can mass produce these boards with the ROMs already in them and assemble it as part of the microwave, and every microwave should work that comes off the line with that board, and it should work the same.
Right. And it doesn't have to be a manual input for a microcontroller to produce an output. So,
right.
for example, the microcontrollers you have in your car could be connected to various sensors in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the sensor sends an input to the microcontroller, which then creates the appropriate output for whatever that might be. And it might be that it changes the settings of something else that's in your car, or it might be that it sends a signal so that the little check engine light pops up on your dashboard so that you then have to figure out what the heck has gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in my house, you figure out where you put the electrical tape so that you can tape over the check engine light.
Well,
problem solved.
Yeah. Well, that anybody who's actually watched when they do the diagnostics on a car, and this would be good for the folks over at Car Stuff to talk about, but in more detail. But you know, there is a board that they plug into,
yeah.
so that the mechanic can plug in, and it will read what the microcontroller is inside the car, and there are several for different functions. You know, it will say, "Hey, the check engine light is on because."
Yeah.
You know, error code 57512,
right.
and they look it up in a book and they go, oh, well, that means that the EGR valve needs replacing.
Or, yeah, or there's a belt that is not working properly.
Yes.
Yeah, and it turns out, just in case you're wondering, there are apps out there for smartphones where you can
mm-hmm.
get
mm-hmm.
a proprietary cable that will hook up into a smartphone, and you hook the other end of the cable to your car's computer, and it'll actually tell you what the code is. Now, you may still have to go and look up what the code means, because not all of these apps have a complete database on what every single code for every single model of vehicle
right.
translates to.
Right.
But at least then you can have an idea of what's actually wrong, which that's for... that. You know,
if you're going to do it yourself...
Yeah, we're getting off topic a bit, but the idea being that you'll be able to diagnose what's wrong with your car, so that way when you take it into a mechanic, you can be reasonably sure that whatever the mechanic's telling you is either true or not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always that worry. You know, when cars get more and more sophisticated and it becomes more and more difficult to understand what's going on with them, you never really know if what the mechanic's telling you is actually what's wrong with your car, or maybe they're adding on to it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, of course, not every mechanic is untrustworthy, but some
no,
are.
There's some good mechanics out there, but that's the thing, is that because you don't know, you have
exactly.
to rely entirely on them.
Exactly. I don't think you were so off topic, Jonathan, because, you know, that really indicates how pervasive microcontrollers really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about the computers in their cars, or you'll see, I have a toaster that I thought was kind of funny a few years ago because it said, you know, that it had a, microprocessor inside. And I was thinking, really, is that a selling point for my toaster? But yeah, I mean, these devices are in just about anything that we plug in these days, and some things that we don't, like your cars. And, you know, the advantage to that is that, you know, it does make these devices more sophisticated. It gives us more control in some cases. It gives us more, options as far as what we can do with this gigantic range of devices. It also provides more points to break down, because, you know, typically the more complex a thing is, the more chances it has to bust.
Yeah, this is something we call entropy.
Yes.
Systems have a tendency, the more organized and complex a system, the greater the tendency is for it to slowly break down into the simplest form.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that I think that is why it's interesting to look at microcontrollers, because it gives you a sense of what's going on behind the scenes and what may or may not be at play. But it's good that microcontrollers can help us track these things down, too, when it's not the microcontroller itself that's at fault. Typically these are not things that we program ourselves. Like, you program a computer, you might learn Java or Ruby or Python to go program a computer. Most of these things are behind the scenes. The ROMs are soldered onto the boards. We never touch them.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that doesn't mean you can't, but
right.
But there are specific types of microcontrollers you would have to get in order to be able to program on top of them.
I'm going to overclock my toaster.
Yeah.
Liquid-cooled toast. Wait, no.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It never toasts anymore. What's wrong with that?
You reduce the resistance. It's pretty amazing.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Now, there are a couple of other little things I want to talk about, other features that could possibly mark something as a microcontroller. They tend to be small. They tend to be fairly cheap, which is important. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you want a microcontroller. You want something that's focused and narrow, because you don't have to worry about building in all these other features, and that helps reduce the cost, which, of course, you then turn around and you can competitively price whatever your product is, whether it's a toaster or a car. And then they also often, but not always, are made to be pretty tough to work in a variety of conditions, because obviously if you have a car, the operating conditions inside a car tend to be pretty warm. Engines give off a lot of heat.
Right.
And so you need to have electronics that can withstand that heat, because as we all know, heat plus electronics often equals sad face.
Yes.
That's some math.
Well, in the cases of things like now that we have these wireless handheld game controllers and things like that, you know, sometimes they tend to fly around the room when people get a little bit overzealous. You know, things like that, you don't want it to the components to be exposed, because if you do, then they're going to break.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you might wonder, though, generally how powerful these microcontrollers are. Well, they don't need to be terribly powerful. And so a lot of them have some incredibly bare bones specs. Now, one of the ones that Marshall wrote about was, he said, like, if you were to take a low-end microcontroller chip, so this is not state-of-the-art by any means, it could have around 1,000 bytes of read-only memory and 20 bytes of RAM on the chip, and then 8 input-output pins. And so, you know, if you're buying a whole bunch of these, they'd be pretty cheap because they're not very sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you were to get a microprocessor, then you would have to spend more money because you're going to be packing a lot more components and a lot more features onto the same size chip.
Mm-hmm. You could certainly build one of these yourself. There are plenty of places where you can get the chips and boards and other components where you could essentially build a microcontroller to take over any kind of project like this that you wanted to undertake. And you'll see that the processors that you can buy are, you know, they're fairly inexpensive, and they are not designed to handle that kind of instruction set. But what's really cool about that is that you can customize a microcontroller to do whatever it is that you want to do, provided
right.
that you have the programming expertise to do it.
Right. Now, so you may remember we did an episode about logic gates a while
yes.
back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, logic gates are what allow you to control the flow of electrons in such a way so that you can have a meaningful output depending upon particular types of input. And what these microcontrollers do is they provide you the opportunity to build gates in a software environment as opposed to a hardware environment. So in other words, you could accomplish the same thing that a microcontroller does by hardwiring things together, but that would make the components enormous by comparison, right?
Yes.
Because you would have all these different wires and all these different components that were connected together, so that let's say you push a button and you want this one particular light to come on, but not any of these other lights to come on, because those lights should only come on if you push another button. Well, all the wires you would need to put this entire system together might be pretty cumbersome, and it might be that, you know, you could not fit this in a very small package. And in fact, we see this. If we look at the history of electronics, you'll see that the older the electronics are, in general, the larger the particular version of whatever it is you're looking at was.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the earliest computers took up sometimes an entire floor of a building
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you had to accomplish with basic electronic parts what we can do with chips today.
Mm-hmm.
So a microcontroller, what that allows you to do with this read-only memory, that's where you can imprint on that a program that, through software, creates a virtual series of logic gates so that depending upon the inputs that the chip receives, it will give out a specific type of output.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to hardwire stuff as much with a microcontroller, although there is still hardwiring because you do have to, you know, you do have to actually connect inputs to those input pins, those input output pins,
uh-huh.
and you have to connect the output to whatever it is that you are, you know, using as an output. Often it tends to be a little LCD or LED screen
mm-hmm.
when you're first programming it, so that you can make sure that you're getting the response that you want. There is still that, but the majority of the work comes from building out the logic within the program itself. Now,
programming.
Yeah. And it really is programming. It really is saying, for this instance, when this happens, this is what needs to happen as a result. That's the basic idea of a program, right?
Right.
And given this instance, this output.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say, and I'll be honest, as much as I want to get into some basic hacking, I haven't really worked with any microprocessors yet. Microcontrollers. I haven't worked with either one of them, frankly.
Right.
I'm going to trip over everything I say today. I'm just going to stop talking.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
But what I was going to say is that, you know, from many people think of programming as, you know, egad, it's programming, that's not for me. And, you know, really programming is for anyone. But if you are concerned about that, you shouldn't be as far as microcontrollers are concerned, because we're, again, talking about some very simple things. You know, literally, if somebody pushes this button, then you want to do that. And if they don't do it. So, you know, we're not talking about lines and lines and lines of code. You're not writing a new operating system for a desktop computer. You're writing a very simple set of commands to a very simple computer.
Right. Especially since, you know, you got to keep in mind these microcontrollers have very little memory on board. They can't hold lines and lines and lines of code.
What were we talking about again?
Yeah. In fact, the one that Marshall writes about in How Microcontrollers Work,
the basic stamp,
he explains that it can hold about 75 lines of code.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make sure that your program is very succinct, that it's compact, that you're not taking up lines and lines and lines to accomplish whatever the goal is.
That's right.
So, you know, by necessity, you are kept to a pretty small amount of coding, which if you are just getting into coding might be a great thing. It might be, you know, to teach yourself how to think in a sequential way, the way a machine processes information. I was about to say the way the machine thinks, but really thinking is,
well,
it's not quite the right word.
Thinking in quotes.
Yeah.
We like to say that the machine is thinking when you see the hourglass or the spinning beach ball. But
It's really just really processing data. It's going through whatever the data is that's coming into it and saying, what's the right response to this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got it. Hourglass.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of what I was getting at. If you're interested in getting into hacking, and I mean that in the classical sense, not in the we're going to break into government computers and take over the world sense, a microcontroller, working with a microcontroller might be a good experiment. Because then it would give you something that you could physically, that you could work with.
Yeah.
Maybe come up with your own experiment or your own component for doing something cool. And it doesn't require an extensive amount of programming to make it work.
Right.
So it might be a fun project for somebody who's just getting into programming.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I would recommend anyone who is really interested in learning about programming microcontrollers and what they can do, go to the How Microcontrollers Work article, first of all, so that you can get a basic understanding of the way that you would design a microcontroller circuit, really,
mm-hmm.
or a component. And then you can there are instructions on how to build a digital clock with a microcontroller.
Mm-hmm.
And also a digital thermometer. So that way you can actually learn different things that you can do with the same basic component. And again, these are both very specific use cases. So your digital thermometer isn't suddenly going to be able to play Pac-Man. You know, it's a dedicated task that it's, designed for, and that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep.
So I do recommend checking it out. It is a good way to sort of cut your teeth on programming. Again, this one being in the basic language, but there are, of course, other languages you can learn as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that tends to be pretty easy to learn if you know anything about programming already, even if you've never used BASIC before, because it's BASIC. I mean, the language itself was designed as a teaching tool.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily intended to be a fully fledged programming language to build out sophisticated software. It was meant to teach people how to think in that way,
yeah.
So that then they could move on and graduate to more complex, more sophisticated programming languages. We did an episode about programming languages too, where we kind of talked about that.
Yeah, yeah. And both Jonathan and I have fiddled around with BASIC in the past, different versions of BASIC, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I did Apple BASIC.
Yeah. I did Amiga BASIC, so.
Yeah, there you go. So that's, that, friends, is where the split began.
Yeah.
It was only compounded by Chris's refusal to watch the movie Jaws.
Oh, man. He's never going to get over that. Until I watch the movie.
You just see those splits and, how the chasm widens further and further with every episode. It's amazing we've gotten through 400 without hitting each other.
I think we're going to need a bigger podcast.
I think we, hey, nice. Nice. He's quoting something he's never seen before. It doesn't make me want to hit him at all. All right. So anyway, did you have anything else you wanted to say about microcontrollers?
No, not really, but that's one of those unheralded things. I mean, people just don't talk about, when we talk about computers, we usually talk about those machines that we use every day, but microcontrollers are those machines that we use every day and just don't think of them as being computers.
Yeah.
But they really are.
Yeah. Just about every kind of electronics you can imagine has some form of microcontroller in it, often multiple microcontrollers.
Yeah.
So yeah, very important piece of electronics. And if we did not have them and we were only relying upon microprocessors, everything would be way more expensive or far more primitive. For example, your remote control might be the closest kid to the TV. That's what it was in my household until we got...
That's why I'm laughing. I remember that.
Turning the dial three spaces. Yeah, Paul. My family never really spoke quite like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So, guys, if you have any suggestions for future topics that we can tackle here on this podcast, let us know. You can send us an email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com. Or let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is techstuffhsw. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.